Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
Aha, that is the sound of rock cracking, and you know what that means. Another week of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We're glad to have you. Great to have new listeners. We know you're listening to us, your friends, your neighbors. You're telling everybody about us, and we appreciate hearing from our new listeners. Today's show, we have got one that you will not want to miss. Tell your friends and neighbors. We got from Turning Point USA, a young representative of coordinating Turning Point USA, which if you're not familiar with that, we've had them on before. It's reaching out. It's young people reaching into the high schools and college campuses across the country with fiscal conservatism. And we got Marko Sukovic coming on. He's all of 18 years old, but he's right in the middle helping coordinate new chapters across the country, and we'll be speaking to him in just a few minutes. And also, you don't want to miss this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. It goes to none other than Attorney General Eric Holder, and what he has committed when he was given a press conference about fraud in the mortgage businesses. It was last October, less than a month before the election. And guess what? He used inflated numbers, not just a little. So who's the fraud? Where's the fraud? We're going to talk about that on this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. But first, I want to tell you about a couple of things that you may not have heard about and you may have missed it. And one of them we're going to break right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics about Obamacare, something I bet you have not heard about. And you're going to hear about it here in just a few minutes. But let me first tell you about follow up with last week's show. I talked to you about the precarious position of the Republican Party. Now, why did I say that? Go back and listen to last week's show. You need to hear that. Plus, if you didn't hear Mark Skoda, oh, wow, you've got to hear the way he maps out how we get back to freedom in this country. So go back and listen to that show if you didn't with Mark Skoda. And I also talked about the precarious position of the Republican Party. We got people wanting to defund Obamacare. My hands up. I'd love to do that too. We also got people saying we've got to win elections in 2014. If we shut down the government, everything gets shut down. Republicans will get blamed and we'll lose our chances in taking over the Senate and increasing numbers in the House. So that is why Republicans are in a precarious position. I do want to see Obamacare defunded. Can you do it with the House and the Senate? Well, do we have the Senate? This is what you need to know. Bottom line, look at history. Look at George Washington. And we've talked about on the show before when he was in New York, committed his troops, and he was defeated, and the British, instead of ending it right there and continuing the fight, they decided that they would wait till the morning and finish off the American army, the colonists, the Revolutionary War, the George Washington. They would be defeated. And George Washington had to decide, do you run and get caught running like a coward? You stand and fight, knowing you're going to get your whole army slaughtered, what was left of all his men, and wonder if somebody else would pick up and continue the revolution or if freedom would be put out right there. And George Washington had to decide. And what he did was a miraculous thing. He withdrew his troops at night. They had to be extremely quiet because, you remember, Washington did not have a navy, and there were British navy all over. And they had to withdraw across the river. The Long Island area, New York, had to get across the river. And it was a miraculous fog that came in and sheltered them till the last troops got across. But my point of the story and the precarious position of the Republicans is this. Don't get caught where you can't fight another battle. Washington withdrew, and he learned from that. For the rest of the war, he would attack and retreat, attack and retreat. He knew not to put his whole army in danger because the whole revolution almost was ended in the summer of 1776. Washington learned, and one thing the Republicans have got to learn, we've got to win elections. The conservatives need to get inside the party. We get to win more seats, and then we can flex muscle. But if we try to put all our troops there, if we try to do everything on defunding Obamacare, and it can't happen with the Senate. It cannot happen with the Senate under Harry Reid's control. I mean, you can shut down the whole government. Something's got to give. And yes, you say, okay, show somebody's got some real gusto, some real John Wayne macho, and let's fight. Okay. But George Washington, he was wanting to fight and beat the British, but he got surrounded, almost surrounded. His only escape was getting across the river at night, and it was almost impossible, and it was a miraculous happening, and it would not have happened without God providing the fog for a few more hours for all the men to get across after dawn. The Republicans do not need to go for broke where they're almost guaranteed the mainstream media. Hey, we know what's going on. Conservatives, we know we're not going to get the right stories in the mainstream media. But the rest of America that we depend on to win elections, they'll hear the mainstream media and they'll hound and pound on the Republicans. That's what's going to happen. We know it. So why put ourselves in a battle that we know the media will make the Republicans look like the big loser when this country needs leadership? So that's the opinion right here. Doc Holliday saying, let's follow the lead of General Washington, what he learned in the Revolutionary War, that right now they got us outnumbered in the Senate and in the executive branch with the White House under Democrat, liberal, far-left control. We have got to win elections, and we got to aim at 2014. Let's stand strong, but let's not put all our troops over there where we can get surrounded and the media massacre chances for a big takeover in 2014. Now that's Doc Holliday's opinion on the Republican situation. Let's go right into what I mentioned a while ago, something about Obamacare you've never heard. I'm going to break the story right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. But put this in your pipe and smoke it. Now you know we have Obamacare. If you got 100% or less of the poverty rate, then your family will be able to get Medicaid, state help, what we have in the past. But if you have 100%, if your income level for your family is 100%, up to 400% of the national poverty level, then you will be able to get subsidies through Obamacare. But guess what? When there's something we know, and let's go, when we're talking about marriage in America, we're talking about, now people are talking about gay marriage in some states, and should it be legal everywhere? Well, let's look at something about what Obamacare does. Let's look at the African-American population, where 70% of all children are born out of wedlock, without marriage. I don't care if you're talking about gay marriage, straight marriage. We're in trouble, America, because with the Obamacare, you'll get more money if you're not married. If you're not married with children, more benefits. If you get married, if you're married with children, you're not going to get the same subsidy, especially if you got a man and a husband and wife out working in the workforce. It's probably going to be even worse if you got gay marriage. It's going to be they talk about everybody wanting gay marriage to get the benefits. You're going to lose money. If the homosexual community starts getting married, you're not going to get health care subsidies if you sign up in health care exchanges. Now, of course, that's got to be specific to every case. There will be subsidies, but it just won't be as much if there's a marriage involved. You get more if you're single and if you have children. So why will people want to get married? It'll be easier to get divorced and get more money from the government. What are low-income people going to do? why stay married when you get more money if you're divorced? I'm telling you right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, the family that's already up against the wall, they're going to get finished off by Obamacare. They're going to say, we get a divorce, we'll get more money. We can bear, you know, if you got a family that can barely keep their head above the water financially, and you're required to get insurance, and all of a sudden you say, if we get a divorce and just live together, we'll get more money. But who wants to get married? And what does that do to society when everybody knows, all the statistics firmly show that children who are raised with a mother and a father in a home are much less likely to ever go to prison, much less likely to have emotional problems, suicide problems. They're much less likely to have this whole list of things, proven statistics. You can go to the Family Research Council, frc.org, and look under their family and statistics and see these things. I'm not just blowing smoke. I'm telling you, you go there, read the statistics. Everybody knows it's proven. If a mother and a father and a home, children are more stable and they lead the better societies, they lead, are better educated and get good paying jobs compared to those who just have a single parent. And now Obamacare's, if you're in the poverty range and then 100% to 400% and you got children, then Obamacare basically says get a divorce and get more money. So what's all this talk about gay marriage, marrying the one you love? You know, you're going to be losing thousands of dollars if the homosexual community starts getting married. But who's talking about it? That's why you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, and we appreciate it. And we got to get you introduced to Marko Vukcevic. And I told you about him, and let me just, before we get him on air, let me remind our listeners, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, and you're listening to us right here on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. Now, let's get started with our interview with Marko Vukcevic of Turning Point USA. You can go to the website, turningpointusa.net. We are privileged to have someone representing our young people, and it's from Turning Point USA. We got Marko. He's the chapter coordinator of Turning Point USA. Welcome to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics.
Good to be with you, Ed.
Well, we are glad to have you on the show, and we got some questions we want to ask you about how you feel, young people feel, what's going on with politics, what's going on, and what you feel about the national debt and all these things. But more importantly, right now, I just want to ask, how old are you, Marko?
I'm 18 years old right now.
So 18 years old, and you just finished up high school last spring, is that correct? Or?
I did finish high school. I have to tell you, I finished high school in Illinois, so if you have an idea about how the schools are run here.
Okay, all right. So got your high school degree in Illinois, and what part of Illinois are you from, Marko?
I'm from the north suburbs of Chicago.
Okay, in Chicago. And so Chicago is the place where we know a lot of people, have some friends. Actually, webtalkradio.net, that's where our show's on that, and it comes out of Chicago. So the other thing that comes out of Chicago is President Barack Obama. So
yeah, I know.
So the whole nation is bearing the brunt of that. And but tell me, you belong to Turning Point USA, and we've talked about your organization before, but for some of our listeners who didn't hear that show, tell us a little bit about Turning Point USA.
Well, Turning Point USA, you can find us at turningpointusa.net online. We're a student-run group, student youth group. We focus on three major things: free markets, fiscal responsibility, and capitalism. And we try to get that message out to the young people on campuses all across the country.
And talking about that, I guess, are you aware of what Bono from U2 just said about capitalism?
I'm not familiar with that, but I have an idea of what he might have said.
Well, actually, he basically said that, you know, after 10 years of giving handouts, it's not working. You know, people aren't better off where they've helped by giving millions of dollars in aid. And he's saying it's capitalism. So there's some of our people been more on the liberal side are actually looking to capitalism to help out. And what excites me about Turning Point USA, And I remember a lot of people were so disappointed with the results of the presidential election last fall. And they said, we got to do something. You know, the young people, by a huge percentage, 70% or so, voted for Barack Obama in 2008. They didn't get any jobs, and then and without jobs, they voted for him again.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people who are actually in our organization today had that kind of bought into that, you know, President Obama hope and change kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when they realized, you know, let's look at the implementation of what the president's done. He said, you know, it's not working for me. There's got to be some other option.
Well, that's my next question is going to be, now that the President Obama's been elected twice, and now you may not have got to participate. Did you get to vote last time?
Or no, but I'm looking forward to doing it in 2014.
Well, that's what I like about you and so many others that are in high school now, from freshman year up. They're going to be able to vote in the next presidential election, and a lot like you are going to be voting in 2014. So what will turn your buttons? I mean, what turned you on to get behind a conservative candidate?
Well, let me tell you, you know, the president just recently, he lost 14 points in the youth vote recently, right, in the polls. And part of the reason is that is because a lot of the youths, the teens today, they're plugged into the Internet. And when all that information came out about the NSA scandals and things like that, and they realized that the transparent administration that the president promised, you know, isn't really working. It's not working for young people that he promised it to.
You know, there's one of the things that for me and our listeners know that I've spent a lot of time the past few years on Obamacare and how it's going to hurt people. But, you know, young people really don't have a clue about, because most of them haven't had to worry about medical insurance. A lot of them just assume it's going to be okay, and I don't know if that's been a big deal for them, has it?
Yeah, you know, it's unfortunate because it should be a much bigger deal, but I agree with you, you know. Young people are kind of like invincibles right now. They don't have to worry about health care. But you know what? It doesn't matter because the president's already asking, his administration's asking the NFL to start endorsing Obamacare and running commercials for it. They're trying to get into the popular culture because they realize that unless they get these young people into the exchanges, no one's going to be able to afford just these incredible premiums that are being forced on, and it's going to be forced on young people as well. So they have to get aware of it, and that's where Turning Point USA comes in. We're out there giving out the content, giving out the material. You know, we're changing minds, I think, in my opinion.
Well, that's what, Marco, I'm excited you're out there, number one, because you got grassroots, you got chapters across the country, but now we're talking about Obamacare, the thing that, the whole premise of Obamacare is to take money out of the pockets of the young and healthy and pay for the old folks' medical insurance. And
exactly, yeah. And if you look at in the 70s when they talked about Social Security, they said the money that you put in now is the same money that you will get out tomorrow, right, when you need it. But really what we have now is a system where the people paying into it now are not the people who are going to get that money, but the people who are on those programs now are going to get the money that we put into it. So when you realize that your money is not even going to help yourself, right? Your money is going towards an insolvent system that needs reform. And that's where, if we give that message out to young people, that no matter the good intentions by any of the political parties, you know, recently we've seen the Republican Party come up with its own problems through its promises to the youth. You know, there's a grassroots a group out there that says, you know what, sometimes the good intentions, they're not working out for me.
You just mentioned the Republican Party coming up with its own. Now tell me exactly what you're talking about, where they have pulled a rug out from under the young people.
Well, you see it recently, you know, it's been in the news a lot, you know, this kind of internal GOP debate between the Rand Pauls, the Ted Cruzes, and those kind of guys, against the more hawkish guys, the Peter Kings, the John McCain's, the Lindsey Graham's, you know, and that's kind of the tension. I have to say, just my experience out in the field, a lot of the younger people are leaning towards the Ted Cruz's, the Mike Lee's, and the Rand Paul's, as opposed to the other guys that I mentioned.
Why is that, Marco?
Well, it's because the way that Ted Cruz and Rand Paul articulate their social the values, they are incredibly religious themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to social issues, with the exception of abortion, they will never waver on abortion. You know, Turning Point USA never talks about that. We are fiscal responsible, but for the sake of the debate that we're having right now, you know, it's because that they're more open to other people living their lives, I think, but are incredibly religious themselves, and that offers a dynamic to young people that they have never seen before. Usually we have some people say, oh, this is the way we do it, you should have it like that. But also we're talking about the privacy concerns and things like that. And I think if the Republican Party could get around that, they will see a lot more support from the youths coming in 2014, 2016. And that's where all the energy is. That's the future.
Well, you say where the energy is. And in 2008 and 2012, there's no doubt that President Obama got the energy of the youth. And what did they have to show for it? Like I said, Obamacare is set up to extract money from the youth, and it's also the student loans that have gotten steeper and steeper, and then there's an economy where nobody can get a job, or at least not a job to pay back huge government loans. So where does the and then the national debt, of course, I know Turning Point USA looks at that, which is just a huge burden is going to be on the backs of all the young people. So what is your answer? I mean, how can you get people to be enthused to get behind somebody that says, oh, we got to cut the national debt?
Right. Well, let me first talk about the problem. Recently, the American people have elected politicians that have promised to release the shackles, you know, of the national debt, of all the fraud that's happening on in Wall Street. We've elected people like that. But instead, we've elected people that have willy-nilly increased the national debt to now we're approaching $17 trillion. And, you know, Jack Lew, the Treasury Secretary, said that they're going to slow down the national debt clock because people are starting to get aware of it. You know, it's a real tangible issue. But, you know, they're actually putting America's future in greater jeopardy by spending money and not looking at places where there needs to be real cuts. And when you talk about real-life scenarios, that's where you're going to get more people to change their minds.
Well, you mentioned Secretary of Treasury Jack Lew. We talked about on this show a couple of weeks ago. I think the national debt clock stuck at what, 16.99
trillion. Yeah, wavering around there. They want to hold it as much as possible. He said that he wanted to use extreme measures to prevent it from going to 17 trillion.
So, and we laugh about that, but it is a sad day to think the debt that just in the last 8 years with Bush and Obama, it's incredible what you've seen in your lifetime the national debt grow to. And the thing is, we don't see that stopping. It's the humongous interest rates that we're paying and we're going to be paying if we don't get this thing not only the deficit down, which adds to the national debt every year, but to actually start paying down the national debt. Does Turning Point USA have any plan to try to help, you know, support people that say we got to even pay down the national debt? Whoa, hold that thought right there, Marco. Let me remind our listeners, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on webtalkradio.net. We're talking to Marco Sukovic, and he is from Turning Point USA. It's a youth movement that's helping get the information our young people need to know about fiscal conservatism. We're glad he's on the show, and he's going to, in just a minute, he's going to tell us his answer to what Turning Point USA is doing to help get the answer out, to help get this national debt down. But first, let me remind you, one thing to help us out is go to my website, and you can order the book, Rock Splitting Politics, other books and conservative essays. So you can go right on the homepage there and press and go to my website. We appreciate you ordering that book. That helps us stay on the air. We appreciate sponsors. We appreciate people like freedomworks.org. And you can go to Matt Kibbe's face right there on the homepage. You can press on that button right there of Matt Kibbe, and it'll take you to freedomworks.org. And if you are working to get this country turned around, you need help to get your group and to get people and get answers and statistics and the information you need, go to FreedomWorks. They have got it together to help grassroots organizations like yours, and we can take America back when we got good leadership from people like FreedomWorks. You and me and everybody working together, it's not the time to give up, just like Marco is helping us realize. Now's the time to get excited, to get fired up, and to get active. And that's one reason the Tombstone of the Week Award will be given in just a few minutes to Eric Holder for unbelievable thing that he has done that you need to know about. And so, Marco, continue on with your answer now.
Yes, we do. Let me tell you, you know, this is a point where even progressives and liberals get behind us, because when they realize at some point down the future, and it's going to be the pretty near future, our entire budget's going to be consumed paying off the interest on our debt to China, to other countries, and to our to the collectors. There's going to be no money for them to pay for any of the social programs that they're the ones that they want. So that's where Turning Point USA comes in and says, hey, you know, we need to think of real cuts, real reforms in our budget. Some of it comes from overseas spending. A lot of it comes from entitlement reform and things like that. But it's essential if we want to have our country be strong, prosperous. We need to inject the free market back into our country. We need to believe in the principles of economic liberty. And then that's what Turning Point USA is all about.
Well, saying that, I've seen where some of our liberal friends have told us that if we pass immigration reform, it will add $1 trillion to the economy. And then we see our conservative friends saying it will add to the national debt because we'll have so many more people on welfare and government programs. Does Turning Point USA, have you looked into that issue with immigration reform?
Well, definitely. We have a lot of our members have sympathy with, almost everyone in our group believes in the strong national defense and the strong in protecting our borders. That's what the Constitution, if any of all the powers that people are talking about in Washington that are granted to the government, it's that function right there. Mm-hmm. So we definitely believe in strong national defense and securing our borders. But, you know, some of the talk in the recent immigration debate and why Rubio got gotten hot water is because the bill that was proposed was coming from the Democrats in the Senate. And what they offered was they threw money at the problem. And throwing money at the problem doesn't necessarily solve the problem. We have to talk about real...
Right.
We're not talking about pathways to citizenship. We're talking about how are we going to make the process easier to become an American citizen. How are we going to get the bureaucracy out of the way and really getting the people that we need in this country to be here? That's definitely something that we have sympathy for.
Well, now, one of the things that I did want to, you mentioned you were the coordinator for the chapters across the country. Tell us, how is Turning Point USA growing? Are you continuing to grow every month, and how many chapters do you have now?
Yeah, let me tell you, it's incredible. We started 1 year ago, and we have we're across the country right now. We have a chapter right now in San Diego, all across to a chapter in New Hampshire over there. We have everywhere in between. It's all filled up with. You can check out our website. We have approximately, right now we have about 85 confirmed chapters, and we're going to 120 within this year. And, you know, and that's just within 1 year of us doing what we're doing. I think it's incredible. People are really looking at the language that we're using, and they're really being attracted to it.
Well, what do you do on campuses, say college campuses? I know you're just a year old, but do you look at doing debates, or how do you get people to be interested in Turning Point USA? How do you make yourself known on college campuses?
Well, right. We, as part of the chapter coordinator for the year that we've been in existence, I've done a lot of what are these chapters going to be doing, and how are we going to do that? Well, let me say, first of all, if anyone's interested in becoming running a chapter at their high school, because it's not just colleges, we're talking about high schools too, please check out our website at turningpointusa.net. You can also be a writer or a columnist for our website. But let me tell you, what we offer at our chapters is unbelievable flexibility. We know people, school is number one priority, and we offer people the time. And what we say is, you know, your meetings can be pizza parties to holding debates between local congressional candidates. It could be anything in between. We just want young people to get together and talk about these issues that matter.
Well, that's a great, knowing that, and 2014 elections are coming up, and I hope across the country, on college campuses and high schools, that we can get young people turned on to conservative politics, because if we don't get this national debt down and we don't get people to realize that, you know, it's the country they're going to live in, and I'm talking about you and everybody that's, you know, you're not in your job, career earning years yet. But if you don't have a country that can provide jobs, which right now people getting out of college are having a hard time finding good paying jobs, anybody is, it's going to be a sad day. So I want to make sure that we have a country that will and be able to employ you and all your friends and everybody in your age group, because I got children too that's just a little behind you, and I want them to have a country that they know they can work hard and earn a good living and be able to put some money back and save for the future, but be able to enjoy life. And right now, do you feel like you'd be able to do that if you graduated college right now, Marco?
Not at the rate that we're going right now. And it's unfortunate. We're talking about the future here. We're talking about, you know, the life that I'm going to be living. We're talking about the life that my children and the future generations are going to be living. And I think if there's a party out there that starts using that kind of language, start talking to the young people, you're going to realize that there's going to be a huge change in the polls. There's going to be a huge change in some of these results that we're seeing in the presidential races, Senate races, because we're going to see a party that emerges as one that's actually out there for us.
Well, I hope that you'll have a lot of success in opening up new chapters and helping build the existing chapters. And Marco, I appreciate you being on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. As we end up, I just want to give you a chance. Is there anything particular you'd like to tell our listeners, and other than see if they can get a chapter, local chapter in their schools? But what else would you tell them, Marco?
Well, again, I have to say, you have to check out our website, turningpointusa.net. You know, it's not just chapters that we do. You know, we're all about flexibility for young people because we want them to get together. You can write for us. If you already have a group out there and you're interested in getting some of our material, check out our website. We have something called the Free Market Alliance that gets people from other organizations that brings them to us. So it truly is something special.
Well, thank you very much for coming on the show. We'll try to get you back on sometime in the future, and good luck to Turning Point USA.
Thank you, Doc. I appreciate your time.
And that was Marco Sukovic, and I'm telling you, great nuggets to think that he is leading a coordination of opening new chapters across the nation. And he told me that they had some, from California to New Hampshire, folks, and hope that conservatives everywhere will help support Turning Point USA. And like he said, if you got a group of young people, they can make a strategic alliance. So go to the website and check it out. And let's get the young people voting for conservatives in 2014 and 2016. Let's lead the charge right here. Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We can get people fired up just like you. Tell your friends and neighbors. Tell them to listen to the show. Your young people. If you got people in junior high school, college, tell them to listen to this show with Marco Sukovic. And go to turningpointusa.com. Now, this week's Tombstone of the Week award, it does go to our Attorney General, Eric Holder. Why? Why does he get this week's award? Well, you just got to understand that last week, that it was a news item came out that Eric Holder had come out back on October 9th, 2012, less than a month before the presidential election. And what did he do? He gave a press conference. And Attorney General Eric Holder, in a big, big conference that made splashes across the nation and headlines, and they got other law enforcement officials, they claimed in early October 2012 that the initiative that they called it a big fraud happened in the mortgage industry. And they said they charged 530 criminal defendants on behalf of 73,000 victims who suffered over $1 billion in losses. And they said the so-called Distressed Homeowner Initiative, which the Department of Justice initiated, they said they targeted fraud schemes against distressed homeowners. And this was showing how the president and his administration was really going in and helping those homeowners, those who were suffering. And guess what? Eric Holder and the information he gave, it was fraudulent. And why? Because after almost a year now of trying to get this information out, the real numbers, it turns out, were not like they were told. It wasn't just even close. The feds now admit that the number of criminal defendants was not over 500. It was like 107. How do you make that big of a mistake? And the number of victims was 17,000. Now, that's a lot. but it's not even near what they said, 75,000. Not even close, not even half. Unbelievable. And then they said the losses totaled 95 million. Not 1 billion when they originally claimed it. 95 million got stretched out to 1 billion less than a month before the election. Somebody knows this stinks to high heaven. And that's exactly why Eric Holder gets this week's Tombstone of the Week award, because the coward does not have the audacity to come out before the public, take questions, and admit he blew it. And the fraud master is what his new name should be. Not because he was rooting out fraud, because he was given fraudulent numbers to help get President Barack Obama reelected less than a month before the election. It stinks. It stinks. And that's why you listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, because you hear things you won't hear anywhere else. And I challenge Eric Holder to come out and have a decent press conference and answer questions the while he used numbers that were so far off right before the election. What is he doing? Is he committing fraud to the American people and the American public? Why is he still in office? Next week, we got more from Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You need to listen to us if you want to save America.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.